Now let's continue on and see what God says, and then we will see who to blame. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, we've been there, so let's come to chapter 2. Now, they came into the land in 1448 B.C., and it was 718 to 721 B.C., 700 years later, that the 10 tribes of Israel were carried off into captivity by the Assyrians. It was 586 B.C. when the final invasion, so that's 20 years, 606 to 586 B.C., that is the time frame of Jeremiah. So that's 800 years for Judah, 700 years for the 10 tribes of Israel. Would you think that's enough time and patience that God had with them? And they had various wars and ups and downs and things as you read the history of it, because they constantly went after other gods. So let's come here to Jeremiah 2 and verse 7. This is why I told you, please read all of Jeremiah, and when you get done with that, read all of Ezekiel. Okay? Jeremiah 2, verse 7. Let's see what God says. See, because God has created the heavens and the earth, created everything that we need to live here on the earth, created all the food, gave us air, water, and everything like this, gives us breath. We take our first breath and we keep living till we take our last breath, however long that is, and that all comes from God. Everything we have to exist and live, God has made and provided. We have to get out there and work and toil and do the things we need to do to grow it, to make it, to build it, whatever it is, God wants us to do that. We are not entitlement robots that God has made. But God says, I've set before you life and death, good and evil. And he says, choose life. That if you choose death, then you are going to have trouble and difficulty. I will have to judge you. All right? So God says here, verse 7, talking to all 12 tribes of Israel, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. And the priest did not say, so here is who to blame. It starts with those who are supposed to teach people God's way. Priest did not say, where is the Lord? And they who handled the law did not know me. The rulers also rebelled against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. We have the same thing today? Exactly. Yes, because you see, we're the descendants of these people. Therefore, verse 9, I will contend with you, says the Lord, against your children's children, I will contend. Isn't it interesting? This year, we've had three hurricanes. One of them was called Isaac, and it came right into New Orleans and went up, and there was one blessing with it. It relieved the drought. The other one was Irene. The next one was Sandy. And, of course, all the global warming people have to say, well, this is because of global warming. Well, Joe Bastardi, who has been a meteorologist for over 40 years, has studied weather. He says this is the same pattern as it was in the 1950s. Oh, and by the way, they say the ocean is rising. Well, that's only because at the high tide, it's a higher tide than normal because the moon is closer to the earth than it has been in a long, long time. So therefore, the magnetic pull is more and the level of the ocean rises. And Obama didn't keep his promise the level did not go down. Okay? Verse 11. Has a nation changed their gods who are not yet, who are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be amazed, O heavens, at this, and horribly afraid, be utterly desolated, for my people have committed two evils. This is what has happened. See, now, God can change the weather patterns, can't he? Does God control the weather? Yes. But I got a couple of emails were saying, well, the Russians did this to us. Well, I don't think so. If the Russians had that power, they would send one a week until we're destroyed. Okay? Be amazed, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be utterly desolated, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. All right? The water is what? The type of God's Holy Spirit. The type of blessing from God. So they set up their own religion with the false religions, the priests and the Levites and the rulers, and everybody went along with it. Okay? And it doesn't work. You know, it's like if you have a high-powered racing car and you run on down here and you fill it up with diesel and expect it to run. Well, it may start, but you've ruined the engine, then you wonder, well, I wonder why this didn't work. I got the best, fastest racing car that there is. You didn't read the instructions. Same way with us. We have the Bible, and we don't read the instructions. See? Verse 17. Have you not brought this upon yourselves, and that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you by the way? Now what profit is there in going the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Shihor? Or what have you to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Now notice verse 19. Very important. Put right there chapter 6 and verse 19 in your margin. 6:19. Okay? Your own evil shall correct you, and your backsliding shall reprove you. Because all the laws and commandments of God work automatically all the time. And the judgment of God also works all the time. But God gives you a measure of space and repentance. If you do something wrong and your conscience strikes you and you repent, God will forgive. But if you harden your heart and go against God, knowing that it is wrong, your own evil shall correct you. Your backsliding shall reprove you. Therefore, know and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. Is that not true? Yes. Look at all the things that we brought upon ourselves. All the sins, all the crimes, all the murders, all the thefts, all the lying, all the cheating, all the drugs, all of the sports, all of kicking God out of every phase of our life. Yes. Therefore, know and see that it is an evil and bitter thing for you that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. For of old time you broken your yoke and torn up your bonds, and you said, I will serve no longer. I will do what I want. See? And if you want the parable of the prodigal son who said, give me my inheritance and I will go. So he went and spent it. Well, you see, if you put that as a comparison to the whole nation has not yet come to itself. Like the prodigal son came to himself when he was feeding the swine. See, sometimes you have to be absolutely, your own evil is going to bring you down into the slop and the swill, and you're looking at these grunting pigs who are eating better food than you have been given. And you finally say, duh. You know, you come to yourself. Okay? We will not serve. Yea, upon every high hill and under every green tree, you lay down like a harlot. I planted you a noble vine, holy, a true seed. Now then, you have turned it into degenerate shoots of an alien vine to me? All right, look at that. Look what they've done with the Word of God, with Catholicism and Protestantism. Does that not describe it right there? Yes, indeed. See, well, there's still a lot of people still sensitive about Protestantism, how good it is. Listen, the truth is this. Once you get into it, they have the wrong day of worship. They have the holidays of Satan, the devil. They do not understand the resurrection. They do not understand grace. They do not understand law. And just because they happen to be nice people doesn't mean that they are converted. I dare say. If you wanted to stack up your carnal life before God called you compared to what Mitt Romney's life has been, I think we'd all fall short. See, because God called us because we're sinners. God has called us because he's had mercy upon us, and we were down in the muck and the mire enough that we answered the call. See? So God says here, verse 22, for though you wash yourself with potash and multiply soap for yourself, yet your iniquity is marked before me, declares the Lord God, because you can't clean yourself without repentance to God. See? Impossible. How can you say, I'm not defiled? I've not gone after Balaam? Hey, yes. Yes, indeed. So then it talks about the wild donkey and so forth. Then he says, verse 25, he says, withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you say, there is no hope. No, I don't care what you tell me about what God says. No. For I have loved strangers, and after them I will go. I don't want anything to do with it. It's too restrictive. Verse 26, as a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. Their kings, their rulers, their priests, and their prophets, saying to a tree, little evolution here, you are my father. And to a stone, you gave me birth. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise, save us! And that's what happens in all these disasters, right? Yes. They don't think about how they offended God by saying, get out. I won't do this. No, I won't keep the laws. No, that horrible law. No. So God says, verse 28, but where are your gods that you made for yourselves? How many crosses and crucifixes on the East Coast stopped the hurricane? Not a single one. Okay? How many prayers to the Virgin Mary turned back the wind? Not a whiff. Let them arise if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Why will you contend with me? You all have sinned against me, says the Lord. How much correction can you take? What are you willing to have? In vain I've stricken your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a devouring lion. O generation, now this is what God is saying to us. And if we don't, as a nation, stop all of our profligate spending, stop all of our defying God, stop all of the major sins that we are doing and committing. And it's like the Mexicans have rightly said, there would be no drug problem for Mexico if the Americans didn't buy it. Verse 31. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of thick darkness? Why do my people say, we roam freely? We're free. We're independent. No one's going to tell us what to do. Don't you tell me what to do. Like this one ad that they had from this pitiful little girl who was probably no more than 13 and saying, as an ad to vote for the president, that if you go have sex with a boy, make sure he's a good guy. And make sure that you have your birth control. And if you don't, you can get your abortion. She didn't quite say it that way, but that's what it is. But we'll do what we want. See, God says, don't do those things. Because there's a right way and a right use and a proper use of sex in marriage that is blessed. Anything else will end up in curses. And terrible things will happen. And 60% of sexually active teenage girls have chlamydia. All right? We roam freely. We will come no more to you. Oh, we'll go to our psychiatrist. Oh, we'll go to our nurse at school. We'll go to our friend. We'll go to our priest. See? Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Yes, indeed. That's what we've done. That's why all these disasters. So what can we expect next year? I don't know. I don't know how God is going to look down here and judge the people. I don't know how many people have said, well, I'm going to amend my ways. Because of going through these storms. See? I don't know how many are going to give up their lying, cheating, stealing, adulterating, fornicating, homosexuality, and whatever they do, and bestiality. They're not going to give up their Sunday keeping. They're not going to give up their Halloween and Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all of that. Well, I couldn't tell you what's going to happen next year. But I do know this. I can tell you one thing. That if the current president is reelected, like I've said several times before, you've got 40% more taxes coming upon you immediately. And it'll be there. That's part of it. Remember what happened? When Rehoboam took over the kingdom from Solomon, and Solomon had laid such heavy taxes on the people, and the wise older men told Rehoboam, when the children of Israel came and said, lighten the load of taxes, he said, they told him, give him relief. His young advisors, the upstarts, the smart alecks, you know, the young generation, like it is today. We run around with our media in our hands, everything that we do, and we're so smart and everything like that, they said, raise them. So Rehoboam answered and said, you thought my father's tax was heavy upon you? My little finger will be like a thigh. That's how God used to separate the 10 tribes from Judah. Okay? No judgment, no nothing. Okay, verse 34. Also in your skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. Now, I want to get to that here next. Though you did not catch them breaking in. Yet in spite of all of these things, you say, I'm innocent. I'm just having a good time. Surely his anger shall turn away from me. God says, behold, I will pass judgment on you because you say, I have not sinned. Okay? Now, let's come over here to chapter 6 and verse 19 that I mentioned earlier. Okay? Chapter 6, verse 13. Here's another sin. See, God judges the leaders, the judges, the governors, the president, House of Representatives, the senators, the state governments, the county governments, the city governments, all the way down. And have we not found this? Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. For everyone from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, is greedy for gain. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Was Benghazi peace? Think about it. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Homosexual marriage? Perversion? Teaching sex openly in school from kindergarten? What do you think they're going to do when they hit the 9th and 10th grade? Go home and take up a knitting course? No, they were not ashamed at all, nor could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down. Does that happen in degrees? Does that happen like waves? Yes, indeed. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. Yes, come back to the Word of God. Keep the Ten Commandments. You know, like they say about things, try it, you'll like it. You know, it's good. See? Wouldn't it be something if once a week you had a day set aside for instruction on how to live your life so you can have contact with God, so you can avoid the sins of the world, so you can avoid ruining your life? Yes, that's what the Sabbath is for. See? And walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk in it. So then God set a watchman and said to them, listen to the sound of the ram's horn. Now we've heard it, haven't we? How many times have we heard? The financial cliff is right ahead of us. How many times have we heard? There's a debt tsunami coming. Anybody really acting upon it? And you know, we all better be prepared to a certain degree. Because it's going to affect us. So God said a watchman, saying, hearken to the sound of the ram's horn. But they said, we will not hearken. So how long we have to go, how many more difficulties we are going to be in, we don't know. Is this just one wave that comes along and God says, okay, I'm going to see how they act. I'm going to see, is there any repentance? I'm going to see, is there any turning back from the wicked ways that they've been living? Give them time. Give them space. Let's see what happens. God says, verse 18, therefore hear, O nations, the whole world, and know, O congregation, that's the churches of God, what will happen to them. Now remember, what did God say about choosing life and death or good and evil? He said, I call heaven and earth against you this day. Right? Listen to what he says here, verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil on this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Because God knows all the thoughts and the evil that lurks in every heart and mind. And look at how quickly the beast came out of people when they didn't have electricity, when they didn't have gasoline, when they didn't have food. On the third day. Didn't last very long, did it? Fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law, but have rejected it. Now there's a price to pay. And it says, O congregation, we're in the midst of the country here. That's why we need to claim the promises of Psalm 91 all the time. We don't know what is going to happen. Now, this is not a death and doom and gloom, but this is warning so that we will be prepared, so that we will know when things happen, that God is actively judging the people. All right? Now, come over here to chapter 7. Chapter 7. And here's what Jeremiah had to do, whether they would listen or not. Now, Jeremiah was one lonely man. His mission was so difficult that God said, you're not even to take a wife. And he came from the priest town. Okay, let me get the name of it here. Okay. Can't find the name right offhand. But even all the priests, because Jeremiah was a priest, even all the priests from that town, Anathoth, that's the name of the town, they plotted to kill him because they didn't like his message. How dare you come in here and speak against the temple? How dare you come in here and speak against these people? How dare you indict us? See? Well, they wouldn't listen. All right? He had a lonely job. Everyone coming in and out of the gate said, oh, there goes Jeremiah again. He's speaking again. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand at the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. And they were going in there and worshiping the pagan gods right in the place where God put his name. Right there. The idols, the homosexual booths. Right there. So here's what he said. Thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. God always pleads repentance, change, turn, return to me, stop your sin. God even promises that those who commit iniquity, if they would stop, God would not remember them. But if those who are doing good started sinning, he said, everything you have done that is good, I will no longer remember. Because you have sinned. So God says, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in lying words. Now, isn't that exactly what we have in the churches today? Lying words, lying messages. You know, most churches preach a hip pocket Jesus who's like a rabbit foot, who is going to give you good luck whenever you do this and that and the other. Okay? You trust in lying words. Oh, the law is done away. Oh, we don't have to keep these things. Oh, we have sanctified Halloween. We've sanctified Christmas. We have sanctified Easter. All pagan things. When God says he hates them. You trust in lying words. And your idols and your crucifixes and your burning prayer candles. Saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Isn't that amazing? Because God had them build the temple, they would come in there and say, God has to respect it because this is his temple. Well, you see, the truth is, if the people of God, being the children of Israel and the children of Judah as the nations, or the church do not do the things that please God, he wipes it off the face of the earth. Did he do that with the temple? Yes, indeed. Read the account of its destruction in Josephus. In fact, he did it twice. Second time, because they rejected Jesus Christ. So God says here, verse 5, "For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place." I want you to remember innocent blood. "Nor walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit." All right, now if you have a television set and you have CNBC, over the weekend they always show, they run a show hour after hour after hour because there's no business to report, and the program is called American Greed. And you just watch that. See how gullible and stupid people are to believe things that are lies, thinking they're going to make a lot of money. It's perpetrated against whites and blacks and Latinos. Amazing. Con men come along, give them a song and dance, tell them they're going to make lots of money. They set up a whole Ponzi scheme, and a Ponzi scheme is you get people to send money into you, and then you send them, you know, a big investment like $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. Some people have lost up to $1 million in these schemes. And they believe it because he sends back checks which are good for a long time. $5,000 a month. How's that? And he sends you a chart saying, "Oh, your money's safe and growing." And then all of a sudden, he runs out of money and it all collapses. See, because there are many besides Bernie Madoff. Okay? Yes, steal. "Will you steal, murder?" I want you to look at the word murder there. "And commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense to Baal and come and walk after other gods whom you do not know, then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, saying, we are delivered to do all these abominations." That's what they say every Sunday, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right, then he says, "You go see what I did to Shiloh." All right, come down here to verse 30. "For the children of Israel have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it." Now notice verse 31. "They have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire." That's how they had birth control then. They made it a religious affair to a great brazen burning altar of the god of Molech, who had brass arms that were operated by the priest. And of course they had music playing, and it's known that they also had wine and maybe even some narcotics, so the mother and father would come in and drink of that, and it would relieve their conscience. And then they would offer their live son or daughter for the priest to place right on the arms of Moloch, and then pull the lever, and they fall down into the flames and are burned. Okay? Let's read another one here. Let's find out what God says about it. Let's come to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16 and verse 20. Ezekiel 16 is likening Israel to a woman who became an absolute whore and took all the wealth that God gave them and gave them to all their enemies, said, "Here, take the money." And God said, "You know, you're not like a regular whore. At least a regular whore would require money from her solicitors. No, but you pay your lovers. Look at all the foreign aid we give to everybody, even our enemies. Now, that's not as bad as this. Notice what God says. I want you to understand, because we are going to talk about abortion. And I want you to understand, abortion is killing the work of God in the womb of the mother. More than that, let's read it, verse 20. You have taken your sons and your daughters whom you have borne to me and sacrificed them unto the images to be devoured. See, we don't do that today. We're civilized. We only have abortions. Is this your whoredom so small a matter? Notice what God says, verse 21. Notice what he says. You have slaughtered my children. How did you become pregnant? Because God created you male and female. And you committed adultery and fornication, which God said, do not do. Now, there's an ad that has been running from National Right to Life on the radio. And I want you to listen to that, because it's a very effective ad. There are some people trying to stop abortion, but all of the evil, murderous women back in New York and New Jersey and in those areas where the elite is, that has spread to the rest of the country, who want women's rights. And women's rights gives the authority to murder the most innocent of life. Now, they have this ad. And they said, what you are hearing is the heartbeat of a 28-day-old baby in the womb. So by time you know your PG, the heart is beating. And that child belongs to God. Now, it may have been conceived out of wedlock, but God made the process. You didn't do it separate from what God created. You have slaughtered my children and delivered them up and caused them to pass through the fire. Now today, we don't burn them to the god Moloch. Go to Planned Parenthood or go to an abortion clinic. That's nothing other than the temple of death. And the doctor who performs it is nothing other than the high priest of murder. And the nurse who assists is the attendant to the murderer. And the woman who agrees to it is selfish and hateful and murderous and narcissistic. Regardless if you're only 11 years old, you know better. Verse 22. And in all your hateful deeds and your whoredoms, you have not remembered the days of your youth when you were naked and bare and squirming in your own blood. See, because one day, you who commit the abortion, you who assist in doing it, you were in that very same position at 28 days, and your heart began to beat, and your mother was kind enough to have you born. Now, that is the major sin as to why God is going to be relentless against this country, because they murder 1,200,000 innocent children of God in the womb. And God is not going to tolerate it. And yet, if a man running for an office politically says he doesn't believe in abortion, you're not acceptable. Oh, what a horrible, evil man you are. You don't believe in abortion. Well, you got here because no one committed abortion on you. See? Think of it. The most delicate, smallest, wonderful beginning of life, ripped apart. We have a president that believes in infanticide, who voted for a bill in Illinois when he was a state senator. If there was a botched abortion and the baby survived and lived, they were forbidden to give medical help that it might live. Throw it up in a towel and throw it in the closet. Well, one time, Huckabee had a survivor of that. And she was wrapped up and thrown in a closet, but a nurse had conscience to get her and keep her alive. And at 22, she came on Huckabee's program. Many of us saw that. Standing for the rights of the unborn. Now then, murder is a repentable sin, but you had better repent not only of that, but everything else in your life, and you better turn yourself to God and not have this kind of absolute hideous murder. That God is going to judge and destroy this nation because we, for our own selfish ends, politically and religiously, in rejecting God, sanctify that kind of thing. And the political party most responsible for it is the Democrat Party, who kicked God off the plank at their convention and said, God, we don't want you here. They finally had to put his name back in the plank. And after the third vote on it, which was really rejected, there were those out there booing and jeering and shaking their fist because it was put back on the plank. I wonder why this hurricane hit the heart and core and bastion of liberal Democrat government, New Jersey, New York, Long Island. Do you suppose that those leaders and rulers who are vowed Democrats, vowed abortion rights people, do you suppose they have any guilt in this as well as the people? You need to think about it. Now, for those I'm preaching to here today, you already know this. But for those who are going to hear this, you better listen. And you better not say, there's some wild man out there preaching against abortion. Now, you may think that, but one of these days, you're going to have to meet God. Come over here to Amos 4. Amos 4. See, because God is the ultimate judge, and we always stand before God. Now, here's what God has said. Verse 9. We could apply this right to this hurricane. What is the name of New Jersey? The Garden State. Let's read it. I have stricken you with blasting. Is that not, you think a hurricane is blasting? Yes, in a whirlwind, a big blasting whirlwind too. And mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The creeping locust devoured them. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. How many more tornadoes? How many more hurricanes? How many more fires? How many more droughts? How many more sickness and disease? Diseases we can't name, diseases we can't be healed of. You think Obamacare is going to take care of you? Nonsense. They won't have enough money to even manage the sickness. You read Deuteronomy 28. Yet you have not returned to me, said the Lord. I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I've slain your young men with a sword. You ever watch those pitiful ads of the wounded warrior? You ever seen that man who had his face literally burned off? You ever seen how heroic some of those men are who run races on these steel spring-loaded legs and have taken away your horses? How many cars were destroyed with this hurricane? Be careful. Don't buy any cheap cars out of New Jersey 6 months from now. And I have made a stench of your camps to come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. What will it take? I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. 9:11. You were like a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. So here's what God says to our nation. We're right at the threshold. We have choices to make. Are there enough people to choose to do right, to hold off the hand of God's correction? Because he says, back in Isaiah the 5th chapter, after he gave correction after correction after correction, he said, my hand is stretched out still to bring more correction, because you won't listen. Therefore, I will do this to you, O Israel. This is God speaking. Are you going to defy God? Are you going to defy Jesus Christ? Or are you going to defy your sins, your lust, your idols, and your own way, your own religion, and your own foolishness and filthy abominations? Therefore, I will do this to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Not like the gods you worship now. For lo, he forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what his thought is. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's on your mind. Who makes the morning darkness and treads upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So there are times we are told we better preach what God wants. Not good things that we would like to hear. Not smooth things that we are safe in our own rotten little sins and our lives that we have grown comfortable with. God says, return to me. Now, the way we want to meet God is at the resurrection, not in judgment unto death. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.